Hi, I'm Denny Boynton for ArcCast. We are here today at the Strategic Architecture Forum in San Francisco, California. And my guest today is Bob Pearson. Bob is the Vice President of Communities and Conversations at Dell. Bob, thanks very much for joining me at ArcCast. I appreciate it. So that's a really interesting, it's not often that I meet somebody with a more interesting title than I have. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Dell.
Yeah, well, the reason we named the group Communities and Conversations is as really a reminder that what we want to do is be relevant in the communities that matter to our customers. And we want to make sure whenever we're talking that we're having conversations. Mm-hmm. That we're not content dumping. We're not just trying to do transactions online. We're actually trying to say, are we having a relevant conversation that our customers care about?
Okay. Oh, so you were the anchor speaker today at SAF. And you did a talk about Dell's work in the area of social computing and using social networking to be part of that conversation.
Right.
Can you give us a kind of an overview of what you talked about today?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one of the things that we really stress is that it's so important to become a student of what's happening in social media. Everyone's interested in it, people like talking about it, but it's changing so rapidly that you have to actually get inside the data and realize what's happening. So what I was saying to the group today is that an average of 500,000 people a day go online for the first time in their lives.
Hmm.
And the majority of those folks are coming from China, India, Eastern Europe, LATAM. So we're seeing tremendous growth, but those are folks with different search habits, different buying habits, different ways to form communities, often in different languages. That led to another point that I mentioned where about 10 languages reach 95% of the online population.
Hmm.
So, you know, what we realized as we're doing this at Dell was that people, when they're having a conversation, it's more intimate. So you want to do it in your language of fluency. So you really do want to talk in Spanish if that's your first language. And so if you're really having a true global network of communities, then you're really working probably at least 10 languages in the future. We're in 7 today in terms of forums, blogs, wikis. We will be in 10 in the not too distant future, but that's something that we think is really important. The other big dynamic in terms of population is that over 40% of the online world will be in Asia in 2 years.
Right. Yep.
Which is tremendous. So that's the population part of it. You know, and then you get into why now? Why is this becoming so important? And I think Microsoft totally gets this because you were one of the pioneers. In fact, Channel 9 is what we studied before we launched. And we look very closely at what Microsoft was doing. This is the days when Robert Scoble was there. And what we've learned is that social media has actually allowed the customer to have a voice that they've really never had before. So we're finding that they want to do at least 3 things with each other and with us. So one is ideas. So that's why we formed ideastorm.com, is that we really are seeing that our customers want to give us their ideas to improve our products and services. And they also want to talk about it amongst themselves. So in ideastorm, they vote on the ideas. They can comment on them, and then we can go in and comment back. And you get this kind of months-long dialogue where you're actually seeing what people really, truly want. So that's one dynamic. And then product reviews, which is something that's always been around, is really taking on, I think, more importance. Because if you think of the majority of people online, it's the browsing time that's really important. You know, you're going to buy a new computer, you may take you a month to do it. Well, where are you going? And are you getting the right content in order to make that decision? So we have over 75,000 product reviews on Dell.com, and they're growing very fast. And we ask customers why they do it, and it's to help other customers.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other third of the three was solutions. So we thought it would be kind of cool early this year to ask our customers to say, if you have a problem, put it in the forum, and then another customer can see if they can help you. And then if it works, you can click this box called solution. It becomes an accepted solution.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now, like...
So it's customers helping customers.
Right.
In much the way, you know, we've got online forums and things like that where people can come talk about technology, and it's moderated by, you know, by people from the product team who can dive in, but for many of those get resolved before a product team member gets it. So it's very much the same
Absolutely.
Thing where you're actually engaging the community to help other members of the community.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And the dynamic is, I think customers, that's really what they want to do. They have a lot of knowledge, and they want to share it with their peers.
Mm-hmm.
So we had over 15,000 solutions in the first 8 months, average of 350 views per solution, and we clearly have something that works. So, but that's the big epiphany, is we started out with all the things that we could do, and now we're realizing one of our core jobs is actually enabling our customers to kind of do what they do really well, which is helping each other. Mm-hmm. You know.
So when did this whole initiative at Dell get started?
Yeah, this started in early 06.
Okay.
And we're very fortunate that Michael Dell's our lead sponsor. You know.
Okay. Well, that definitely takes down some barriers.
It helps. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's no one out there who actually looks more closely at what the customer is actually saying about us. So he's always out looking at Facebook or Twitter or, you know, searching and then sharing with us what he's learning. And he's been the big proponent of saying we need a better monitoring system, we need to be blogging, we need, you know, each step of the way he was asking us to go a step further. So what we sit back now with a couple years later, we have a state-of-the-art blog monitoring platform that we use from Radian 6. It's really quite good, you know. And then we've just moved to Community Server 08, so we're making that our platform. Worldwide, external and internal, which is, of course, a .NET platform, which Microsoft knows quite well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one of the things you mentioned during your keynote this morning that I thought was very interesting was this concept of antibodies in the organization. And I actually laughed out loud at that because I coming from a large enterprise, I kind of know the people. Talk a little bit about you know, some of the cultural shifts that need to take place within an organization to really openly embrace social networking to enhance your business.
Well, the reason we call people antibodies, there's a couple reasons. I mean, when you're doing social media in a significant way in a company, you're really undergoing major change. So a lot of people find all the ways to resist the change. And we need to have a way to actually call them out on it, but also have some fun, you know. And so the antibodies to us is the way we describe them. These are the people who, they always want to look at something next quarter. You know, they only have more money, they do it today. You know, they think it's a great idea and we should form a committee. So they actually never say no. They just find all the ways to not say yes, right?
Yeah, and they usually do it with a smile. It's like, hey, that's
you think they're
great idea, Bob.
You think they're on board with you, and then you realize that they're really not. Mm-hmm. They're holding you back. So that's why we call them out as antibodies, and we have fun with that. But we also employ what we like to say is selective listening. You know, when you're doing social media, a lot of times you're on the cutting edge of something. And you have to kind of trust your own instincts sometimes to just say, we're just going to go do it. And some things will work and some won't. And we'll end up with a great batting average when we're all done.
Right.
You know? But yeah.
So how did you prep an organization? Because obviously, you know, being on the bleeding edge of something like that, it has some inherent risk to it.
Yeah.
What types of things, you know, did you do that, you know, you kind of prepare your organization to deal with those risks as you went forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great team effort because, I mean, you have Michael is a great sponsor. Mark Jarvis is our CMO, very much believes in this. Andy Lark, who's my boss, who runs Global Online Communications and Brand, very big supporter in this. But on top of that, what we realize is we have to have a great relationship with IT. You have to have a great relationship with legal and HR and all of the departments that get involved in this. So the number one partnership we need is with IT. So in the very beginning of this, we would say, you know, we need this done, and they say we can't, and we get into the usual scrum, and, you know, something would happen, but not everyone would be happy about it. Mm-hmm. And so we said, okay, let's step back from that, and we formed a Web 2.0 team, and we meet every 2 weeks, and we talk about the future. And IT was in that room from the first day. And so at this point now, we actually have a shared vision of what we're trying to do. And that makes us all realize, how do we get there? Mm-hmm. So it's a total team effort. It's not us and them, you know. And I think in a lot of companies, that's what they complain about. And we just said, you know, that's just, there's no way to do business like that. So we're actually quite pleased there. And then legal, what we did is sat down with them early to say, you know, the volume of what you get for blogs and comments and things like that, no human being or a set of human beings can review all this. Mm-hmm. So we set up rules of the road. They're very clear. We kind of say we play by the rules of dinner table conversation. Right. You know? And if something's in the gray area, we'll send it to legal and we'll say, what do you think? But we take it real seriously to kind of protect our ability to do that by not ever taking advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And it's worked out quite well.
Now, one of the other fear factors, if you will, that I was here when you talk about engaging the community like Dell is, you know, do we really want to provide a forum where potentially people could be trashing us? You know, perception is truth, especially in the social networking world. You know, what is your take on that? How do you...
We don't mind at all. I mean, what you want is you want to have comments that reflect reality. So if people are upset at a certain point in time over something that's happened, whether we did it or it happened some other way, that's reality. So let's get those comments in, and let's talk to people directly. So we're actually very comfortable with that.
Okay.
Actually, we would be very uncomfortable if it was always, hey, you're wonderful and great, and it was only positive.
Right, yeah. I mean, self-critical is the only way you move forward, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, that almost speaks of another culture change that has to happen in a lot of companies, because yeah. A lot of companies don't. I guess this kind of comes to the core of what you're talking about. This morning, the thing I noticed, a recurring theme was, you remember how we used to do this? Well, those days are over.
Yes.
And so there really is a significant mind shift that has to happen to fully embrace this and really reap the advantages. Yeah.
I mean, one of the things I was talking about this morning was that 3 out of 4, this is from Roper or Nielsen, one of the two groups, 3 out of 4 people look to their peers for advice on what they're going to buy. Not advertising. Advertising is a much deeper second or third. And that's not really that surprising, because if you think it's much richer to find information and you can ask anyone you want on all the social media sites, that's common sense that would have to be more powerful. But what it means is that a lot of people still, you know, they've been trained in the old model. So they know how to do a media buying plan, and they know how to get the mix right, and they know how to do it in a sequence, and that may or may not be as important as it was in the past. It doesn't mean it's irrelevant. It just means that the mix changes to include social media in a very important way.
Right. So it's really leveraging the advantages that you get from both, where typical advertising may give you some ubiquity in the eyes of consumers. You know, your images, your logo, your branding is out there, but the social networking aspect of it, the social media aspect of it, gives you the conversation you can have with customers and even potential customers.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting when people say, like, you know, we know what we're doing, we don't do that stuff, you know. I always point to, well, do you know how many conversations are occurring about your brand today? And in our case, it's 5,000 to 10,000 conversations
really?
Per day
wow.
about our brand. So that's cool, but if you don't know what people are saying, you don't actually know they're shaping your brand.
Right.
Right.
That's that's really interesting, because what you just said there, that it's really these social, you know, conglomerations online that are really shaped. You can do all the branding and all the advertising you want to push to make your brand seem to be what it is. But really, ultimately, in the world we live in now, this community out there is the one who's defining that for you.
Yeah.
Because of that trust factor between peers.
I think that's great. I mean, I think, you know, the headline is customers win.
Yeah. That's a great point,
And customers should be the ones who are deciding the value of a brand, because they're the ones who are using the product and deciding if it's useful. And so I think that's really a great thing that's happened. And, you know, I think if you go back, let's say, like to the 50s, you know, that was just, okay, let's just mass produce something and send it out to a big, huge segment of people, and we'll advertise a lot, and it will work. And in the 50s, it did.
Right.
But we're living in the age where everyone's an individual, and it's important for us to know, how do we make it useful for us to have a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. And well, it's the old example of, you know, I think back to, you know, I was born in the early 70s, and you know, I think back to when I was a teenager, how I would obtain music I wanted to listen to. You know, well, first of all, I had to earn the money for my allowance, and then
you were going to Napster.
I had to ride my bike to a store, and then I had to flip through bins, and then I took some hard media home, and then I put it in something, and I played it. And I think about, you know, my daughters, you know, with, you know, using their Zoom, going to Zoom Marketplace, pulling music down, having it automatically synced to a device. They never have to get up to do that. And it's you know, in the 50s, when you're talking about the early ages of television, you know, that was really the only portal. You know, you had billboards and newspapers, but I mean, you know, those were the only portals that people would understand what companies could offer. And now, you know, everybody through this device right here, I can learn more about
right.
a specific product or service from a company than folks back in that time period, even in the time period of my childhood, could ever have dreamed.
See, you raised a great point, because if you think about the old days, these are the very old days for people today, if your dominant channel is TV, then you trust that, because that's what you're spending your time on.
Right.
But I have two daughters as well, and so what do they spend their time on every night? They're on Facebook, they're texting their friends, you know, they're online in some other way, and TV is a tiny part of their life.
Yeah.
So the thing that they spend the majority of their time on, that's what's going to influence that's what they trust. Mm-hmm. It's all common sense.
Right, and it's so appealing to people today, because it really makes you feel that you're in the driver's seat, that, you know, you really are controlling
right.
the information and the decision making behind that, as opposed to it was always kind of funny, because I remember what you mentioned about TV being the truth. I remember my grandmother having arguments with my grandmother when they would say something on TV. I go, oh, that's all, you know, shoot, they just said it on TV.
Right. Must be true.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they wouldn't say it on TV if it wasn't right. the truth. And now you hear something like that, you can go out to a search site. You can type something in, and now you can see a variety of opinions, kind of aggregate all that information in your mind and say, okay, this is what I think is actually the truth out of this, based on the source of the information you're looking at.
Yeah, and that's ultimately what's happened the last couple of years, because at the end of the day, we've always gone in our neighborhood and said, hey, Joe, what do you think about that plumber? You know, but now we're able to do it online, and the tools are so enabling. That's why I think in today's presentation, I was hoping to get across, with software architects have a huge role in figuring out how we really make this happen, because internally we really need to bring all the benefits of the web right to the employee with no barrier. You know, that's the goal. I mean, you know, obviously life's not that perfect, but that's the goal. And you know, when you think externally, our customers really shouldn't have to worry about platforms or tools.
Right.
They should just be thinking of, what content do I need or want? Where do I want to go to have some fun, or whatever I'm looking for? And we're there in a relevant way, and we're not there when it's not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So that actually reminds me of a question I was going to ask you. It kind of relates back to the software architect's role. You have a lot of channels right now that you're communicating with your mm-hmm. with your community. are you finding a need at all for any kind of aggregation of that information, or providing tools to allow people to aggregate all these different channels?
Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it, because in some respects you need to aggregate. Like with IdeaStorm, we want to expand IdeaStorm much more, make it much more global. So in the back end of that, you absolutely want to aggregate ideas so our engineers and designers can see the wisdom of crowd trends. But on the customer side, if you think of communities, actually the future is micro communities. It's really tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of communities. So if you're in small business, you know, right now we would say, okay, we're going to target small business. But what about small businesses that are in the restaurant industry in just Canada? You know, because that's actually probably closer to where people in Canada, in the restaurant industry, that's who they want to talk to, is their peers. Mm-hmm. So the closer you can get to a peer set, the more likely you're going to have a community that really matters. And those are micro communities. But would a micro community benefit from some of the things that would be in the bigger aggregated community? Absolutely.
Okay.
So, is that going to happen tomorrow morning? No. But it will happen. And that's absolutely the thing, way to go.
So, if you're a software architect or an enterprise architect, you're working in an organization, and you know you're watching this episode, and you're thinking, you know, this is something. What would be some starting points from, you know, since you were kind of there from the beginning of this at Dell and helped usher this in? What's some advice you can give to people who say, you know, I really do think this would benefit my business? How do I get started?
What I would do is, kind of similar to what we did, is you find that there's a lot of people who do get this and really believe in it in varying degrees, and start to realize who that network is and pick off some early projects where you can really get wins. You know, and so that team may be other parts of IT, a business partner, you know, it could be some other folks in the company that have a vested interest. But the key is that find like-minded people and coalesce on a project. You know, so if you think of what we did, the first thing we did is we said we have to get monitoring right, so we understand right. what people are saying about us. So we put all our energy into having a great monitoring system. And then from there it was like, okay, now we got to figure out how to blog correctly. So let's get out there and do this. That's when we started studying Channel 9.
Okay.
Figuring out, like, what do we, how do we do that? How do we do this thing? And but I think it's important to focus on like one thing and do it well, and then build it and take steps, and not worry about it. People being against it, because you know, it's any good ideas in this area are going to run against the antibodies.
Sure, sure.
So you're always going to be back to that. And you just have to keep the faith.
Excellent.
It's not going away.
Well, obviously, you guys are at the forefront of this. I congratulate you on what you've been able to accomplish. It was a great keynote this morning, and I really do appreciate your time, Bob, sitting down and talking about this with us.
Thanks.
All right, great.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I just add to that is, you know, we say we're just finishing chapter one.
Yeah.
Just starting chapter two. We're going to use social media to transform the infrastructure of a business. Mm-hmm. And we're all just getting started.
Okay. Excellent. I can't wait to see what you guys come up with next.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Thank you. Well, that's it. Thank you very much for joining us on Aircast today. I'm Denny Boyd, and I'll see you next time.